Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, good morning. We are always honored to have you here present for our Sunday morning, first day of the week worship, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I want to go ahead and invite you back tonight at 5:30, being the fourth Sunday of the month. We will worship God in a period of singing, singing being one of the five acts of worship. So we will devote a majority of our worship this evening to singing. Hope you can come and be a part of that and make plans on singing praises unto God. I do want to echo what Brother James said, although I did hand in a note. We are looking forward to our gospel meeting. Brother David Costello will be teaching the adult class. I know you will get to enjoy him. I know he's already been working on his lessons because apparently on Sunday nights at Bethany, he's started preaching through the Judges. So I guess that's his way of doing the prep work for that, but we are looking forward to our vacation Bible school. It will be here 2 weeks before you know it, so we are looking forward to that. This morning, I have written on the board the topic for my sermon is thinking Christianly. And while we could argue that Christianly may not be a real word, it will work for our sermon this morning, so block that part out of your mind and let's focus on the thought of thinking how a Christian should think and also doing as a Christian should do. Here in our lesson text of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul writing a second time to the church of Corinth. Corinth had a lot of problems, but Paul visited there. Paul wrote to them twice to try to correct some of their, well, he tried to correct all of them, actually. Here in verse number 5, Paul tells us that we as a Christian, we need to bring every thought, the last phrase of that verse, every thought into the captivity, into the obedience of Christ. Everything that we think should be brought into the obedience of Christ. Paul tells us in Colossians 3 and verse 17 that whatever we do, we should do in word or deed, praising the Father, praising the Son. So we don't need only whatever we do, but also everything that we think ought to be pleasing to God. Now I will admit, this is a challenging thing. This is something that is not always the easiest thing because we have many thoughts on a daily basis. I'm not even going to have you think about everything you've already thought about this morning, but I'm sure it's a lot. I know in the advertising world, they say we see over 3,000 advertisements a day. So if you think about that, and then if you double that for things that you were thinking about that weren't advertised to you, that's a lot of things that we think about. And yet, the Bible tells us we need to bring every thought to Christ. And sometimes we think about things that we shouldn't be thinking about. Brethren, we need to control how we think. But only that, we need to control what we think. We need to be putting good things in so we're getting good things out. You reap what you sow. So if you think about good things, if you put good things in, you'll think about good things. If you put bad things in, you'll think about bad things. So this morning, there's a simple question. How can we think the way we ought to? How can we control the way we ought to? This morning, answering one simple question. How should Christians think? How should Christians think? Number one, we as Christians should think soberly. We should think soberly. Let's flip back to Romans chapter 12. And verse number 3, Romans 12 and 3, we need to think soberly. Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, soberly in the Greek could be translated to sobriety. What are we talking about? Not polluting our minds. We need to be sober-minded. Not putting things in that will pollute our minds, pollute our judgment. Now, yes, that does involve alcoholic drinks because that can alter our minds. Some other substances in the world can alter our minds. But, brethren, we can alter our minds if we put bad things in. So, first off, Paul says that we need to think soberly. And, brethren, I would say we need to think soberly about ourselves. About ourselves. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 2. Paul here says, "And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know." We need to think soberly about ourselves. We need to rightly analyze how we are living our lives. Put your finger there in 1 Corinthians. We're going to come right back. But let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 6 and verse 3. Galatians right after 2 Corinthians. Galatians 6 and verse number 3. Because here Paul says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, then he deceives himself." He says, if you think you're something when you're really nothing, you have deceived your own self. That's why we need to think soberly about ourselves. Realize what kind of a person we really are. Don't try to overinflate it, oversell, undersell. Who are we? Think soberly about ourselves, but also we need to think soberly about others. Think soberly about others. Back to 1 Corinthians, let's go to chapter 10 and verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 10 and 7. Here Paul is starting out the first part of the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, talking about what the Israelites did and then using them as an example. And he said, "Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them." Who's that? The Old Testament people. "To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Brethren, we need to think soberly about others. And sometimes we need to read our notes. We need to go to 2 Corinthians. I thought that sounded weird. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:7. Remember how we have those thoughts about things we shouldn't think about? I was on the third point. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. Here we go. "Do ye look on the things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ." That's more along the lines of what I was thinking. We need to think soberly about others. Are they in Christ? Are they out of Christ? If they're out of Christ, can I do something to get them into Christ? Now, I can't obey the gospel for them, but boy, I can give them every opportunity to obey the gospel. I can give them every resource that I know how. Are we thinking soberly about others? But lastly, when we think soberly, we need to think soberly about our salvation. About our own salvation. Let's go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12 and verse 40. Luke 12 and verse 40. Jesus Christ is teaching about things such as anxiety, planning for the future, earthly riches versus spiritual riches. And in verse 40 of Luke 12, Jesus says, "Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Brethren, we need to think soberly about our salvation. Are we ready for the Lord to come back? Let's flip back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I know it's 1 Corinthians this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. This is a verse that you may have been waiting to appear in the sermon. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall." We need to think soberly about our salvation because Jesus says, "I'm coming back." He's the Son of Man. He says, "The Son of Man comes back in an hour when ye think not." Let me ask you a question. And this is not meant to scare you, but if it does, it may make you think about your life. If Jesus Christ were to come back before I finish this sentence, where would you spend in eternity? Would you spend it in heaven? Or would you spend it in hell? Jesus Christ says we don't know when He's coming back. So we need to live our life in preparation for when He does. Brother, we need to think soberly about our salvation. If I have not been saved, what is keeping me? Why don't I obey the gospel? If I have been saved, am I still living faithful unto death? Or has sin polluted my judgment? Has sin made it where I can't see? If not, I need to come back and I need to make things right. Brethren, we need to think soberly and not let anything in the world pollute our judgment. That's number one. Number two, how should Christians think? They should think beneficially. They should think beneficially. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5. 1 Corinthians 13 and 5 is a great love chapter. Zooming it out, chapters 12 through 14, Paul's talking about spiritual gifts. But in verse 5, talking about love, does not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not her own. Love is not easily provoked, and love thinketh no evil. Brethren, love thinks beneficially. Love thinks how it can help itself and others. We need to think beneficially as well. So first off, we need to think beneficially about the opportunities that are set before us. We have a great opportunity coming up in less than 2 weeks. It's our Vacation Bible School. Are you thinking beneficially about these opportunities? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 16 and 9, Paul says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Paul's thinking beneficially because he has this great opportunity set before him to go out and to preach and to teach the gospel, to take the message of salvation to those who otherwise would be dead in their sins. And Paul was thankful for that. Let's go to the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. Revelation 3 and 8. Here is he is talking to the church at Philadelphia. Brotherly love in verse 8. He says, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." Philadelphia has some good things written about that church. What does Jesus say? There's an open door in front of you. Nobody can shut it. You have so many opportunities to do good. And he says, you're doing them. But let's look one more time and back in the book of Acts. Acts 26 and verse 2. Acts 26, 2. And I would want to ask you the question as I ask myself, could we be like Paul in Acts 26 and verse 2? Because Paul is presented in verse 1 before Agrippa. And he said, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." And Paul then stretches forth his hand and starts to speak. And notice what he says. While he's being tried, keep that in mind. Paul says, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews." Paul is being put on trial for his life. What does Paul say? "I'm happy that I have such a great opportunity to tell you of the things that they have accused me of." Paul's excited because he's getting ready to preach to him about Jesus Christ. How do I know? Because if you follow that all the way through the end of the chapter, King Agrippa says in verse 20, or he says to Agrippa in 27, "You believe the prophets? I know you believe them." And Agrippa says, "Paul almost now persuades me to be a Christian." I know what Paul told him. It's recorded. And Paul was excited about that opportunity. Do we think beneficially about the opportunities that are before us? Not just gospel meetings, not just vacation Bible schools. Maybe somebody new has moved in next to you, or down the street, or there's somebody new you work with. That is a new opportunity. Do you think beneficially about that? So But secondly, when we think about beneficially, brethren, do we think beneficially about our thoughts? We all have thoughts. How do we think about them? Let's go to Philippians 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Paul is summing up this beautiful four-chapter book to those at Philippi. And he says, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, we need to think on these things." You ever wondered what should we be thinking about? Well, Paul gives us a pretty list, as Paul likes to give lists, there in verse 8. If it's anything that gives virtue, if it's anything that gives praise, Paul says we can think on those things. We need to think beneficially about our thoughts. We need not, or you know, we need to keep our thoughts pure and not muddled with other things. We want to see clearly now because we're not polluting our mindset. But when we think beneficially, we also need to think about that in regards to our relationships. Our relationship. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians and let's start in the love chapter. In chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13, in verse number 7. What does love do? Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures all things. We need to think beneficially in our relationships. When the going gets tough, what do? We stick in there. It thinks love. Thinks beneficial. But flip back, maybe a page, maybe not, to chapter 12 and verse 25. When we think beneficially about our relationships, notice that starting in verse 14, Paul describes the human body and how the human body has different parts, and the hand is not the foot's not the hand, the eye is not the ear, and vice versa. He's using it to talk about the plurality of spiritual gifts those at Corinth had. But notice what he says in verse 25. There should be no schism or a division in the body, but that all the members should have the same care one for another. Brethren, when we want to think as a Christian ought to think, we think beneficially about our relationships that we're not causing a division. Because he wants us to be all caring one for another. Now sometimes people divide themselves because they'll take upon them a view of the Scripture that's not presented in Scripture. But we need to do our best to stay whole to the truth. Buy the truth, the Bible says, and sell it not. And in James chapter 5, starting in verse 13, James has a beautiful declaration of what we should do for those around us. He says, "Is any among you afflicted? Then let him pray. Is any among you merry? Let him sing songs. Or songs. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of church. Let them pray over him, that they may anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Then he says to confess your faults one to another, and pray for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then he goes on to use Elijah as an example, how Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and for the space of 3.5 years it would not rain. Then he ends it in verses 19 and 20. "Brethren, if any of you restore such a one," let me actually read it, "do err from the truth and convert him, let him know that he which converts a sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." When we think beneficially about our relationships, if somebody's happy, we're happy. And if they're sad, we're sad. And we do what we can to help them. Lastly, this morning, when we think as a Christian, we need to think soberly, we need to think beneficially, then we need to think wisely. We need to think wisely. If you're with me in James, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. James 4 and verse 12, he says, or 1 Peter, 4 and verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, that you may be glad with exceeding joy. Jumping down to verse 16, if any suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. When we think wisely, we need to have wisdom. In fact, that's first. Everybody needs wisdom. Luke 2:52 tells us that as Jesus Christ grew from a young lad into an older person, he grew in wisdom and favor and stature with God and with men. So Jesus Christ grew in wisdom, so shouldn't we? Aren't we trying to be like Christ? Christ grew in wisdom. We should grow in wisdom as well. Let's go back to James, because James talks about wisdom in the first chapter and in the fifth verse. James chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. We all need wisdom. So where do we get it? We ask God. We can be like Solomon, and we won't get it like Solomon did, but we can sure ask like Solomon did. Also, James chapter 3 and verse 12. James 3 and 12, the Bible says that the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then it's peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, watch this, full of mercy, and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. We need wisdom. Brethren, we need to think wisely about our behavior. Think wisely about our behavior. There's a phrase in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 15 that I think comes to mind here. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. How many is this 15? Colossians 4 and 5. Here, the Bible says, walk in wisdom toward those that are without, redeeming the time. Walk wisely, think wisely, redeeming the time. What does that mean? If I were to have written this in 2019, I would have said that we need to walk in wisdom towards those who are without and not procrastinating. Oh, that's something we have a problem with, isn't it? Putting it off till later. That's what redeeming the time means. Same phrase in Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. We need to think wisely about our behavior. We need to make the most of every opportunity that we have set before us. But lastly, when we think wisely, brethren, we need to think wisely about God. About the God in heaven, because He is the true one and the wise one. Two passages on this one. First one's in Acts 17 and verse 29. Acts 17, 29, Paul comes to the city of Athens, and Paul is walking around and sees all these idols to this god, a lowercase g, and that god, a lowercase g, and then he finds one to the unknown god, and Paul starts preaching at Mars Hill. And in verse 29, he says, for as much then as you are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art in man's device. We need to think wisely about God. Realize that God is not a created being. We did not create the notion of God. Somebody 3,000 years ago didn't sit around one day and think, oh, I'm going to create a God and I'm going to say He rules over. No, brethren, God is not created. He is God. We need to think wisely about Him. Now, I will say the Bible talks about the unsearchable riches of God. And I will admit there are some things about God that we can't explain. But when I get to heaven, Lord willing, I'm going to ask you. And you can be there too. One more passage is in 1 Corinthians 1 and 21. When we think wisely about God. For after that, 1 Corinthians 1:21, in the wisdom of God by the world, by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How did the wise God want men to be saved? Through the foolishness of preaching. The Jews require a sign. The Gentiles seek after wisdom. I mean, you could keep going there in that passage. But brethren, we need to think wisely about God because He is our Creator. And He loved us enough to send His only begotten Son to die in our place. We not only need to think wisely, we need to think beneficially. How can I use this opportunity to better the kingdom of God, to be pleasing unto God? And we need to think soberly, not let anything pollute our mindset. And that could be a whole list of different things. That could be some teacher that has a smooth tongue that tells you what you want to hear. That could be putting something in your body. That could be turning God out. We need to think soberly, beneficially, and wisely. So sober up your mind. Hear this. Have you obeyed the gospel? It is very beneficial to you, because if you obey, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, you will not die in your sins. That's what Jesus says, John 8:24. If you've not done that, think wisely and do it this very morning. But if you have, keep remaining faithful to death. But if sin is into your life, think soberly. Get that sin out. This will benefit you. Be wise and return to the Lord, repent of those sins, and leave in a right relationship with God. This is how a Christian ought to think, and this makes me want to be a Christian. If we can help you in any way at all this morning, please let it be known while we stand.